Bava Basra Perktes Mishnah Aleph, dealing with inheritances and the children who inherit. Somebody who dies without leaving instructions as to how he's going to give out his possessions, and he leaves sons and daughters, when there is a lot of property, meaning enough property to allow both the sons and daughters to be supported till the daughters reach adulthood, which is 12 and a half years old. Then the sons inherit the estate, and the daughters are supported from the estate, so they have to provide the daughters with food, with clothing, until they marry or come of age. If the court, according to the Rush, sees that the sons are careless with the money, they can take sufficient property and set it aside for the daughter's support. But if nechasim watim, if there's less property than they need, less than they need to be able to support the sons, for the sons to inherit, and the daughters to be supported, habanos yazanu, then the daughters are supported, the possessions are put in the hands of the court, or an apotropos, a trustee, the habanim yishalu apsachim, and the sons have to go begging at the doors. They only get whatever property is left over after the daughter's support is set. And if not, then they have to go beg. And this mission is brought down in Ksubos as well. Admon Omer, Admon says, Bishvil Shani Zachar Efsadati, because I'm a male, I should lose. Why should the son, who is the heir to the property, be in a disadvantage compared to the daughter, who's only getting the support from the estate as a Durabanon, as a Takana Durabanon? It seems not right. So according to Admon, he says the sons and daughters get equal support instead. I'm a Rabbi Gamliel. Rohan Ani is Divrei Admon. Gamliel said, I see the point of view of Admon. I approve of his point of view. I agree with it. And yet, despite the fact that Admon gets Rabbi Gamliel's support, the halacha does not follow him. The daughters take precedence, and not so much because of a takana d'rabbanan or a gender being favored over another. It's because the support for the daughters is included in the ksuba for their mother, and that ksuba put a lien on the property for the daughter's support, and that's just the way it goes. Mishnah Beis. Mishnah Beis talks about sons, daughters, and the unusual case of the tumtum. The tumtum is a person whose private parts are covered with skin, with a flap of skin, and so it can't be told whether the person is in fact a zachar or a nekeva because the genitalia are not visible, and so there's no way to tell. And according to some halachos, the tumtum is treated like a male. According to some, the tumtum is treated like a female. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that tumtum is its own category. So, hiniach banam ubanos. If the man died and he left sons and daughters, the tumtum. And this tumtum, who is of undeterminate gender, bizman shah nechasim ha-merubim, when the nechasim are numerous, when there's a lot of property, hazacharim dochanos oetz on the kebos. Then the males can say, treat the tumtum like a female, and the tumtum, the non-gender individual, doesn't have the right to inherit as a share in the inheritance, so treated like a female, as we're going to see later, but presumably in the sense that the tumtum will be supported, at least like a daughter will be supported. But nechasim watim, if the property is very little and not enough for all the children to be able to be supported, hanekevos dochazos oetzel zacharim, then the nekevos can say, hey, you're not a nekevo either, so go beg at the doorways like the zacharim do, and they can claim to keep their own support, perhaps at the tumtum's expense. Now the problem is, the tumtum is either male or female, and so what do? So the answer is, we put the tumtum in the category of those who receive less. Because the tumtum cannot prove conclusively that they are zachar or nekeva, so they can't take the greater share. Basically, it seems to me, although I haven't seen this, that it's kind of hamotzi mechaber olav araya. How is that tumtum going to be able to take from either one if the tumtum can't prove that they are either gender conclusively? Ha'omer and teled ishti zachar. Now what happens if somebody says, if my wife bears a male child, yitol mana, let him take 100 zuz. So the man is on his sickbed. His wife is carrying a child. And he says, if the unborn child turns out to be male, he gets a gift of 100 zuz. Now, because he's a shchid meira, his words have instant validity according to the Rabbanan. And he says, yalda zachar, if she did in fact yalda zachar, she has a male child, a masculine child, as they say in The Godfather, not el mana, then that child takes the mana, takes the 100 zuz, because that is how it turned out. Now, the problem is, the unborn fetus can't acquire anything, it can't make a kinyan. So how does a gift on an individual who can't make a kinyan take effect? So we say, because this is the shchid meira, we say that a sickbed gift is different and it goes to the unborn child. The fear is, at least according to the Ritva, that if the father can't give a gift to the unborn child, his health might get worse because the father has strong feelings about his unborn son and he wants him to receive his legacy. And so it could actually negatively affect his health as well. If he then says, Nekeva Mosayim, if my unborn child that my wife is carrying is a female, then let her take 2 mona or 200 zuz. No telus masayim. Then, if the yolda nekeva, no telus masayim. If she has a nekeva, then that baby girl is going to get 200 zuz. Now, the Mishnah says a larger amount for a daughter than a son, because one would figure that he's more concerned with her financial future. So he's going to set aside more money for a daughter. She's got to get married, she isn't guaranteed part of the estate, of the land, so maybe he would set aside more. But either case, it doesn't matter how much it was, it would work that way. Now, im zachar mana im nekeva masayim. What if he combines them, this sick man, and he says, if it's a zachar, then 1 mana. If it's a nekeva, 2 mana for her. V'yolda zachar u nekeva, and then the wife has twins. So zachar notel mana, v'anekeva notel masayim. Each one of them gets the amount of money that they were pledged, so both conditions are satisfied. The children are dear to him. We assume that he wants to give 100 to the boy and 200 to the girl. Yolda, tum tum. But going back to our original case, what if the child she has is neither a boy nor a girl, but a tum tum instead? Eino notel, then the tum tum gets nothing. Now the Gemara explains, this is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds that a tum tum is neither a son nor a daughter. And because a tum tum is kind of, in a manner of speaking, a third gender, then the tum tum does not get any gift whatsoever. Some people say, in Bechoros, that everybody agrees the tumtum is either a male or a female, but the gift was given to a definite male or a definite female, and the tumtum is neither of those. So as a result, no money. Im Omar kol masha teilad ishti yitol. Now, if the sick man said, whatever my wife, whatever kind of baby my wife has, I'm thrilled that it's a baby, so let him or her take hareza yitol. So in this case, the tumtum would also get the gift, because he said, whatever my wife gives birth to. Vim ein sham yoresh elohu. But if there's no heir besides a tumtum, and there's only that child, yoresh es hakol, then the tumtum inherits everything. In the absence of other children, the fact that it's not a son or a daughter, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, doesn't mitigate the fact that the child is definitely the offspring of this father who died. So as a result, the child inherits the entire thing and is eligible to inherit.